We're going to take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Our last fellowship, I made an announcement, if you weren't here, that I wanted to do a little short teaching series on the subject of God's deliverance, specifically honing in on healing. Not that we don't know anything about healing or haven't seen any healings in our lives through the years. We've seen a lot of healings. I mean, a lot of healings in our fellowship. Little ones, great big ones, and really great big ones. people just it's wonderful. So it's not that we're not aware of it or haven't seen it, but I do think it is a need for us to almost do like a little tune-up and grow in it. Grow in our understanding of it and see the fruit of it more in our lives and just to be as healthy as possible. And the first sharing I did on it was that it's God's will to heal. He wants us to be healthy. If we get sick or we get diseased or we get injured or get goofy, whatever, God wants us to get back to health. He wants us healthy. He wants us to ooze with a good body, a good mind. And there comes a day where we will die if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't return in our lifetime. But until that moment, we can stay healthy and be vibrant, so to speak, you know. And in the Old Testament, God had provided means for his people to get healed. But in the New Testament, it's even greater because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. And in verse 24 of chapter 2, we read, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." The redemptive work of Jesus Christ is vast, and one of those works is healing. Healing is now, like, the doors are blown off. It is available to anyone. A believer doesn't have to go to a priest to get healed. Doesn't have to go confess his sins to somebody. Offer a few turtle doves or anything. He can go to the throne of God and thank God for his deliverance, her deliverance, and there it is. Boom. Or we can pray for one another, or we can minister healing by way of the manifestation of gifts of healing to one another. Healing is certainly something that is available plentifully. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I know that all of us could, in a couple minutes, put together a teaching on healing, which shows that we know some things concerning healing. But we just want to grow in our understanding of it, bigger and bigger. Last week we looked at, last fellowship, we looked at Jesus Christ healing people. And no one previous to the Lord Jesus Christ healed with such sheer volume of people in such a short time. I mean, just like a tidal wave of healing rode over Israel during his ministry. And here in chapter 4, we read this. And these weren't just little headaches that were dealt with. These were some major problems that people had. Chapter 4, verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of God, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all," there's a lot of alls in this, "all sick people that were taken with divers or many diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." An avalanche of healing wholeness fell over Israel. And just the sheer numbers of people is staggering. So a great question would be, well, how the heck did he do it? What was his secret? And why have we not seen that much? I mean, in the book of Acts, you see it did continue. But in the centuries to come or past, it's dwindled significantly. What did he do to get these type of results? We're going to look at a little bit of that today. And Acts, we're going to go to Acts chapter 10. We also looked at this verse last time. Acts chapter 10. How did he do it? I mean, healing is not the pinnacle of the New Testament and the things that God has provided for his people. But it sure is nice to have it when you need it. You know, if you're healthy, it feels good. If you're not healthy, you want to get healthy. And it's just one of those things that God has provided for his people, and we might as well enjoy it. Chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Or it could be also considered as spiritual power. We've got that. We've got spiritual power. Anointed with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we see that he had spiritual power. We saw that God worked with him, walked with him. And the truth that we know from his word is that God walks with those who walk with him. Right? If you and somebody else were going to go on a walk together, and you decided to go down one path, and the other person decided to go down the other path, they're no longer walking together. They're walking, but they're not walking together. So if we want to walk with God, whatever his path is, that's the path we're, you know, step by step walking with. So if God was with him, Jesus Christ must have been with God. And we see that in the scriptures. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. It's a reciprocal relationship. And Jesus Christ was totally engrossed with doing God's word and doing God's will. Totally engrossed in it. Luke chapter 2, this is when he was a little fella, 12 years old, in the temple. That wonderful time when Joseph and Mary sort of lost Jesus Christ for a few days. That was one of the biggest oh shit sounds in the world. Where's Jesus? Next statement, oh. But they found him in the temple. And in verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and mother, my father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Know you not that I must be about my father's business? The things concerning God. The word business is actually, there's no word in the Greek for business. It's the word pater, for father. But the context is the things of God. Don't you know that I'm about to be about the things concerning my father? Business is a great translation, but it's literally not, there's not a word in there that says for business. About the things concerning God. So he was tracking with God's word and seeking God's will concerning his own life as the Redeemer. At this point, he already knew. And what he was supposed to do. So he was growing and learning and trying to figure it all out. So he sought people who had a knowledge of the scriptures and took the opportunity. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Verse 18, as we know, these two scriptures deal with the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's a section from Isaiah. Verse 18, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So Jesus Christ understood this. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So those are things that Jesus Christ understood that God wanted him to do, and those were things that he was tracking with and growing in, you know, following that will. So when he started his ministry, he was healing-minded, wholeness-minded, miracle-minded, deliverance-minded. You know, that's where his head was. He was tuned into, okay, God wants me to deliver God's people. So when he started to go about, doing good was, hey, somebody needs to be healed. It's pretty cool. Let's go to John chapter 6. He understood what he was to do, and he really tracked with it. Chapter 6, here's an example of it. Verse 38, he's speaking to some religious people. And he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will." Here it is. He's going to state some of it. "Which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day." So he understood that, and that's what he's planning on doing. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven." Which, if you read a few verses earlier than what we're reading, he talks about him being the manna from heaven and the bread of life and this and that. And they're upset. They're murmuring because he said, you know, he's this bread. Which was contrary to what truth was. Truth was he was the bread from heaven, manna from heaven. And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven?" Jesus Christ was tracking with what the scripture said concerning himself and spoke accordingly. And these Jews were tracking with, well, he was in Nazareth. We know Mary. We know Joseph. How does this line up? He was really after doing the will of God. Let's go earlier in John chapter 6, verse 14. he had just did a miracle of feeding a lot of people. And verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." They're gaining a little understanding of who this guy is. "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." So he saw all these people going to try to turn him into a secular king, you know, that's going to help Israel. And he said, whoa, not going down that road. That's not the will of my Father. So he separated himself from him and got alone. He didn't allow the influence of the world's opinion of who he was or what he was to do to affect him. He stayed on track with the will of God in that circumstance. He was diligent to that. His mindset was to do the will of God, and so therefore, as he went about, he was able to do good. That's why it says that in Acts 10:38. Went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Let's go to John chapter 8. Not far from there. God's will was deliverance for his people, as we know. And Jesus Christ was tuned into that loud and clear. He had his dial on that, that spot. And when he started going to minister, things started happening because he was on track with the will of God in those circumstances. Like when those people tried to make him king, he wasn't going to get off track. He was going to stay put with whatever God's will was. So his mindset was riveted on God's will for what he was to say and for what he was to do. So that's how come people in such volume were able to get healed. He was right there in tune with the will of God in those circumstances. He already knew he had the power, and he had to believe it just like we do. Same process of learning. He had to learn he was the Son of God. He had to learn he was going to be the Redeemer. He had to learn what the will of God was, what it was to be the Redeemer. do you just like tell everybody what to do and say, you know, you go do this and you go do that? What was being the Redeemer mean? He learned that he had to give up his life. He had to decide, okay, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. I don't know. He had to go through a mental process. We do the same thing. It's the renewed mind. We put on the Word of God. What does it say of us? What does it say we should do? So when he was setting about, his mindset was, he was healing-minded. He was wholeness-minded. He was deliverance-minded. He was miracle-minded. I'm not there yet. Where every moment of the day, I'm ready to see God's power go into fruition, whether it be my life or somebody else's. He had his life, his thoughts lined up with the Word. John chapter 8, this is quite a huge thing. Verse 59, the last verse in this chapter. He had just had quite a contention with the Pharisees concerning his life, about Abraham. It was a toe-to-toe, face-to-face confrontation with truth versus error. And verse 59 says, then took they up stones to cast at him. So that was their solution to this argument. We don't like you, so we're going to try to kill you. Took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And here he was about to be murdered. Maybe his heart rate went up a little bit. Maybe not. I don't know. But I haven't been close to being murdered in my life. I've been close to dying, but not being murdered. And, it didn't shake him, apparently. Because look what happened right after that. And as Jesus passed by, terrible spot to put the chapter change. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So his mindset was to do the will of God. Part of that was bringing deliverance to God's people. One of them specifically says to bring sight to the blind. And here he passes by a guy that can't see. And he could have said, I almost just got murdered. And I need a hamburger. His mindset was deliverance. I don't know if I would have noticed the guy walking, there. But he did. Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, and this verse, if you change the punctuation, it makes a lot more sense. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, period. And the word but should be translated however. However, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So he was he was deliverance minded. He was walking about seeking to do God's will in his life and whatever it was, to be doing God's will. Mark chapter 6. Even this huge confrontation did not distract him, shake him up. Wherever he went, his mindset was, what's God's will to be done here? I know when I walk in Elm Depot, I'm thinking about what I got to get. I think sometimes I just close off the doors. God can't even get in and say, go just talk to that guy. I don't know. I'm not there yet, but I'd like to be. That's why I think I need a tune-up. How the heck did he heal all these people? Well, this is part of it. Mark chapter 6, verse 10. It's a prayer that he's teaching how to pray. And that's not it. it's the one where he said, thy word be done in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it's the Lord's Prayer. I don't know why I wrote down 6:10. It's probably, can't say 16:10 because we're in 16th chapter. Anyway.
It's 7.
Well, I'm sure you've read it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. So his concern was that the will of God was being done just like it's done in heaven. Because those angels are always doing the will of God. He says something, they do it. They rejoice in truth.
Matthew 6? Yeah.
I got the first letter right.
First two.
Yeah, the first two. Better yet, half of it right. 6:10, Matthew. I knew it was wrong when I was looking at the wrong part of the sheet there, the page. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That was something that was heavy on his thinking, or had to be strong in his thinking. The will of God being done on earth. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles, right after 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16. Here's something that Jesus Christ was imitating of his father. Remember, he searched the word, the Old Testament is how he learned all about God. And this is a verse that he read. I'm sure put in his head many a time. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Here, therefore, henceforth thou shalt have wars. But he's looking. His eyes are running to and fro. God is just scouring the earth looking for people who are looking towards him so he can show himself powerful. So when Jesus Christ started his ministry, he went to his first village. What do you think he might have been thinking? What's the need here? And apparently one of the obvious needs was healing. Boatloads of people needed healing. So that's what he did. Mark chapter 2. I know in our culture, there's medicine, there's doctors and stuff, and so a lot of people get fixed up by way of that. Nothing wrong with that. So we may many times don't see quite the need, or they're in areas like in hospitals or something, you just don't see them out on the streets because they're being taken care of in places that can help them. And also, sometimes, you mention healing, and they're like, huh, what? This guy that works for me, Rube knows who he is, and Susan. Robert, he's been working for me about 2 months or so, and I've been trying to get the word in there, and he's listening, sort of. And I've been mentioning about healing, and he had this toothache that was bothering him. And I said, have you asked God for healing? Because I had told him about prayer and stuff. And he goes, no. I said, why wouldn't you ask God for healing? I mean, what's it going to hurt you? You ask, and if you don't get it, you still got your toothache. But if you ask and you get healed, hey, you got a 50-50 chance. So he still didn't ask. I said, I could pray for you right now, because we were driving. And he was quiet. So the next morning he comes and he's really got this toothache. I said, look, would you like me to pray for you? He finally goes, fine. Okay. So I went in and I administered healing. And within a few minutes, the pain was gone.
Wow. Yay.
So then the next day I said, did you thank God? He goes, no. So the other day, he figured out that it's sugar. If he eats a lot of sugary things, I said, well, here's another way of getting fixed, you know, dentistry wise, a real cheap way, and he still hasn't gone for that. So, but you know, he's not always looking for healing. He'd rather have that toothache, I guess. But do we ever live like that? I guess it makes it at times that I just don't seek real diligently. Chapter 2, verse 1, talking about Jesus Christ having a mindset of deliverance, of healing, of wholeness, of being operating miracles. Chapter 2, verse 1, here he's in a teaching situation. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And immediately many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried afore. So this guy was paraplegic, couldn't walk, he was paralyzed. And when they could not come nigh or close unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, these were thatched roofs, not like what we have, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So here's this guy being lowered right down in front. When Jesus saw their believing, he said unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that he so reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, well, we've never saw it in this fashion before. But here he was deliverance-minded. I mean, he could have just kept going on with his teaching, but he stopped what he was doing, dealt with the scenario of the guy being needing healing, ministered the necessary things, and then doesn't say what he did. He probably went back to his teaching. I don't know. But the guy got healed. Quite a thing. And lastly, we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians. He was healing minded. Chapter 10. And this isn't the only thing in God's word that's a concern of God's. Obviously, we know that. But when we do have our mind on it, we really are have our mind on it. The world has an agenda that opposes God's will. Anybody disagree with that? Anybody ever notice that? We grew up in the world. We're bombarded more now than ever with visual and audio information coming to us. Sometimes, even like I don't put on the radio much, but it still comes around. I mean, it's just around. Many times, the stuff that's totally contrary to the will of God, or stuff that just totally ignores God, which is bad enough in and of itself, bring no mention to God in life. You hear that enough, and you wonder if there is a God. And one of the things that God says that we are to do in living for him is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations or reasonings, things that are contrary to the will of God. Casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's what we are to do. Every thought that's contrary to the will of God, we lead it to Christ. We say, no, not coming in here. No, if it's in there, not staying in here. Go ahead, get it out. and you just pluck those things out. Just like when they tried to make Jesus Christ the king, they saw how he could feed masses of people. This guy'd be a good politician. He wasn't going to allow it. It was a thought that was not the will of God. Cast it out. It's not going that road. So that's what he did. He worked the word in his heart and he kept it in the forefront of his thinking in everything he was doing. What is the will of God for this situation? And he went for it. I've often thought about two metals often used for jewelry. And one being gold and one being silver, both very popular. And I've always been fascinated by the fact that gold, it always stays shiny. You never have to polish it. You can ignore it, and it's still as shiny today as it was when you first got it. You've probably seen things in museums. Susan, I saw some stuff in Europe behind glass. These were gifts from one king to another. Big vases of gold. Shiny, looked like they were just made. I saw gold jewelry from ancient Egypt that was on display in a thing in New York City. It looked like it was just made. Shiny. Silver, on the other hand, tarnishes. If you have any silverware or silver plates, you notice you have to polish them, right? They get tarnished. The gold is sort of like our new man nature. You don't have to do anything to keep that thing shining. It's good, and it's always going to be good. Our old man nature, a little different story. It needs to be worked with by renewing the Word of God, or putting the Word of God in our brain and keeping it there. It gets tarnished, we got to keep cleaning it up with the Word of God. Keep cleaning it up with the Word of God. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He didn't allow the sin to get into his life. Obviously, he was sinless. But he had to keep claiming what the Word said and putting it on his brain, because he was challenged with a lot of things. And you know the devil was trying to get him off to break fellowship. He just had to get him off one time. Just once. He was after him. And he did it in a lot of different ways. He was tempted in all ways like as us, as it says, right? So one of the reasons why he was able to heal so many people is because he stayed on track with the will of God, and that happened to be the will of God. And he did what God wanted him to do. So it's just wonderful. So next week we're going to look at what's one of the ingredients to actually getting healed. What was one of the things that he required in order to do it? Because we know he didn't heal everybody. Some people he walked right by. Right by. So we'll look at that.